Good evening. My brother Paul has asked us to turn to Joshua chapter 4, 19 to 24. While you're turning there, I was thinking a little bit what I could say here in the opening. I was thinking about the memorial service is usually a memorial of those who have gone on before. But I guess at my age, I do have memories of quite a number that have gone on before. But I was thinking about those who have impacted my life the most. It's actually most of them people are still here tonight, or at least still with us, have not gone on to eternity yet. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who have impacted my life, have been an encouragement and a blessing and an example to me, and have been faithful and have encouraged me and have encouraged many others in this congregation and even outside of this congregation. So just take this opportunity to thank each of you. And let's just keep being faithful as we continue to serve the Lord. So we'll read from Joshua 4, 19 to 24. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. We look forward to what our brother has to share with us tonight, and some memories and encouragement and things. So as we have these verses on our thoughts here, let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening. I want to thank Brother Randy and Brother Josh for sharing in the service tonight. I can assure Brother Randy that there's an advantage and disadvantage to being this old. The advantage or disadvantage can be that I can't remember those times when he pulled those pranks. So I won't be sharing them unless he shares them. In fact, he might share them and I won't even realize they were done. I'm not sure. But as I thought of tonight, and it's been about 50 years, and that just, when I thought of that, it's hard for me to comprehend all that. It's been about 50 years that I was really involved and active as far as attending the congregation here. A lot has happened in the last 50 years, but a lot happened in the first 16. I can remember back as far as those who have ministered here, and I'm going to be reluctant throughout the evening to mention really names because I'm sure to forget somebody, or so I probably won't give any more names than I'm about to give right now, but I can remember back as far as Brother Sammy Lehigh, Brother Howard Danner. I think I remember Brother Jim Sellers, Brother Paul Hoover, and I don't think I missed anyone up in that age group. Of course, Brother David and others after that. And those brother, and I probably remember Brother Paul, of course, my grandpa, Brother Paul Newcomer. remember of the as far as individuals preaching, probably the one I can recall more than others is Brother Paul Hoover, and he might have been younger than some of them, I'm not sure. But as I thought of tonight and the responsibilities, and the closer it got to the evening, I realized that there's probably more emotion involved in sharing tonight than I really had anticipated. It was my responsibility to share back home this morning, and the subject was the living word. That the word is living and abiding, and I made the comment there that much of who I am, the teaching that I had in my early years, has molded and made me more than anything who I am today. And then I made this comment that you, those of you who would still remember when I was here and back then, might think I didn't get very far. And I told them up there to remember that God is still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'm going to approach the lesson tonight maybe in a little different way. I'm not sure. I thought, what do you do for a memorial service? I don't have a lot of stories. Like some people can recall and relate stories. But as I thought back to my earlier years, I believe that those who have gone on before and impacted my life have made at least three choices that have made a great difference in who I am. And tonight I am challenged that I continue to make those three choices. And I challenge you to commit yourself as we go throughout the evening to those choices that we referred to. And there could be more, maybe many more. And as we go throughout the evening, there'll be individuals' names that'll come to mind. Some of them lay here, some of them over yonder in the cemetery over there. And you'll think of these individuals and how they made the choice. One, two, three. And so that is my desire tonight, that we would be challenged and really encouraged just to, I believe it was in our brother's prayer, to press on. And when I'm not here any longer, what will they say, or will they be able to say, that I've made those choices? There's a song that is written in reference to Joshua 4. Some of you may have heard the words before, but I'm going to share just a few of them with you. It goes like this: they laid 12 stones on the bank of the river. At Gilgal, they offered their tribute that day. Their children would question them, "What are these stones?" "Child, they mark the spot of this sanctified day. What are the monuments we should be leaving so our children can find a way to get home? We should be laying stones so they can follow the pathway that leads to God's throne." Then the last verse goes, "Mothers and fathers of this generation, there's hope for your family. Keep this in mind. Don't move the landmarks set up for your children. They will find a way by what we have left behind." We should be laying stones so others can follow the pathway that leads to God's throne. Every generation the generation that has gone on before, the generation before them, the generations that are represented here, every generation has the responsibility to pass on their faith to the next generation. Turn with me to Joshua 24. And just for a few moments, look at a few scriptures there. They're familiar verses in Joshua 24, and we'll start reading down in the 15th verse. But Joshua had gathered all the tribes of Israel together at Shechem. And it's Joshua's last charge to Israel before his death. And he reminded them of what God had done for them as a people. And then you get to verse 15, and it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I want you to follow as I just jump through a few verses here. But verse 16, "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Go down to verse 18, the last part. "Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Go over to verse 21, "And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord." In verse 24, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." Now I want you to turn to Judges. Just keep turning in your Bible, Judges 2. Judges 2, and read verse 7. "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." And now verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel." Does that get your attention? One generation later, they knew not the Lord. That commentary, that very short commentary about one generation to another, has been repeated down through history over and over and over again. And that's why tonight I am so thankful that there's people here and there's people laying, resting there and over there that took time to make choices. And I can stand here. And I can have a faith that is secure in the God they served and the God I serve, because they made right choices. What will the next generation see in us? You and I are here tonight in this setting to remember those who have made choices and are no longer with us, as we have said. I believe there, as we mentioned, are three choices, at least that we want to look at tonight briefly, that we will need to make if we are going to actively pass on our faith to the next generation. And as I said, I want you tonight, as we look at these, to recall, maybe they're not here in this congregation, maybe they're somewhere else, but I want you to recall individuals who influenced your life and made a difference in your life because of the choices that they made. Number one, they're pretty simple, but yet absolutely important and critical. Number one, a faith that is possessed. A faith that is possessed. Joshua challenged the children of Israel not to forget God. Now that seems simple enough. I think all of us have made some kind of commitment not to forget God, and it seems simple. Why would we forget God? The great danger for you younger ones, for us older ones, for you very younger ones, the very great danger is that when we have been blessed by God, we forget God. We forget God, the giver of the blessing. That is the situation the children of Israel would find themselves in. When all was well, beware lest you forget where you come from and the goodness of God. This thought, and I wasn't sure I was even going to share it, but just keeps almost, I don't know if it's troubling me or just keeps coming back to me. I have a concern that we at times, and I'll put myself in there when I say we, including myself. If we're not careful, we become dissatisfied with where we were years ago and where we are today. And in that dissatisfaction, we tend to look for some greater experience possibly or something more, and it's almost not identical, but there might be some similarities to the children of Israel. If we're not careful, we forget the God who our forefathers served, and we become dissatisfied and search for something else and something more, maybe. You can take that for what it's worth and whatever that means. And maybe there's a tendency in my own life. That's why I keep thinking about it. That we need to be cautious of that. We live in a world that is making every effort to forget God or marginalize God in our daily living. One of the great temptations we face today, living at this time, and a place of great blessing, is to forget God. To forget God. Joshua brings them to a place of decision. And some of his final words to the people are, choose God. Pretty simple message, isn't it, for a last charge? I had to think of some of the people that have gone on before. And I'm wondering if their simple message to me would have been, choose God. Don't forget your God. Choose God. I believe possibly if Joshua stood here tonight, he might have the same message for you and I. Choose God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a contrast to that, and you don't have to turn to it, but it's found in 1 Kings 18:21. There's a contrast to the response we find in Joshua in 1 Kings 18. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And then the people answered him not a word. Interesting response to the same question or a similar question that Joshua asked the people in his day. A faith that is possessed is where individuals choose God. Make it a personal choice. I sat very young where some of you are sitting. And at some point as I grew and became older, I had to make a choice to serve God. I remember in some of my earlier years, I would tell people, well, that's what my church believed. When questioned at times in school and that, well, it's what my church believes, but at some point it had to become what I believe. And for you younger ones, at some point, more and more, it needs to become what you believe. We all know that I had godly parents, godly grandparents, but the choice needed to be mine as it needs to be yours. Choose God in your family. Choose God in your work. Choose God in your recreation. The reason many of us are here today is because our parents, grandparents, our forefathers chose God. And really the reason all of us are here, if you didn't have individual parents or grandparents that made that choice, because at some point someone in your life made or influenced your life who had made that choice. Number two, a faith that is proclaimed. Faith that is proclaimed. I think I'll take the time to turn back to, again, a familiar portion of Scripture, but if you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, just a few verses there when we think of a faith that is proclaimed. Moses there had called the children of Israel together, and I think many of us know these verses and know what took place here, so I'll maybe skip down through a few of them. Just kind of jump from one to the other. But follow along there in verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightst fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be long or prolonged. Go down to verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. That word diligently means to make a commitment to do or to do what follows. Unto the children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We could go on down through and read a few of the other verses, but I'm just going to pause there. A faith that is proclaimed, and a few challenges I want to leave to you with you tonight is reinvest. Reinvest by teaching your children, grandchildren, and others the Word of God. I remember a little bit, but I'm sure I was many times over in the lower level of this auditorium, in the Sunday school. And there are multiple people that invested their time sharing with me the Word of God. There are my parents who shared in that also, in sharing that with me. But make the Bible and Bible stories a part of your daily life and a part of the life that of individuals that you are influencing, your children, your grandchildren, and even other individuals. Why would I make a statement that who I am, a lot of who I am today, is because of the early teaching I had here? It's because they shared with me the Word of God. They didn't just share with me stories. They encouraged me to memorize. I did not like memorizing. So don't take any lessons from me, you younger ones. It just was not something that, it was work. And didn't come real easy for me. I won't give the name, but I could give you one Sunday school teacher who sat in the class down here, and every Sunday we had a verse that we had to say. Well, let's let it like that. I didn't like memorizing. I better be careful what I say. He's sitting here. But reinvest in others. Somebody took the time to reinvest in me. And somebody took the time to reinvest in you and you. Reinvest by teaching the Word of God. Like I said, draw them into the Bible. Make the Bible and Bible stories a part of their daily life. Make it applicable. It's just not some story that you put out there and it's good to hear. It has life. It's eternal. And so share it over and over and over. They may have gotten tired sharing it with me. I don't know. All those years sitting there, wondering if it was ever going to get through. Reinvest also by taking the godly heritage that you have been given, that has been given to you, and reinvested in your children, grandchildren, and others. We're here because somebody took the time to reinvest the godly heritage they had. Many of them, some are here. Many of them were at rest here and over yonder and other places. It's during those very young years, the young years that I spent here, that those formative years of life, that you have opportunity to teach them about your faith in God and lessons to be learned about God. Tell them your stories. You have a story. You have a story tonight of what God has done in your life, and you need to be telling your story. I believe that so convincingly that we're sometimes a little timid to share our story of how God has worked in our life and what God has done for me with our children, our grandchildren, and others. I'm not, like I said, a good story. I don't remember stories, and a storyteller. And some of you know that my wife, she has stories upon stories. But she's part Miller, and they got stories. I don't know where they get them all. She shares stories, and I think my life was boring. Then I think, I guess I have stories. I just can't remember them. I don't know. When our children were younger, the ones in Maine in particular, she would sit in the back of the van and they'd all be around her and she'd just be telling stories. I had a few. I had one story that I could remember, and I told them that story I should have. I remember I was in school out of Paradise and we were playing softball or baseball. And I was up to bat, and I swung the bat, and the catcher stood up, and I clobbered him with my bat. Well, I hit him with my bat anyway, on the head, and gave him a concussion. Well, they laugh like you're laughing. And guess which story they used to say, "Papa, tell us about the guy you hit with the bat." But it got to the point, because Papa didn't have so many stories, that those little ones would come and say, "Just make some up. Just make them up." You know, us older children like stories too. Real older, like me and you, some of you older ones. I didn't ask my wife if I could share this, but I think she'll be all right with it. If not, we'll talk about it on the way home. Thinking of, we all like to hear stories. I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, we were at Wells. Wells Meeting House, and after the service, went down there for a meal, a fellowship meal, and I looked over in the corner, and all the sisters were over in the corner. And guess who was in the middle of them telling stories? But she comes home sometimes, and she's a little late, and I said, "Were you telling stories again on a Wednesday after she leaves school?" She said, "We had a few," but she said they're life lessons. They're life lessons. And that's what she does a much better job at this than I do, of sharing her story and the life lessons that come out of that. You have a story. We all have a story. And we need to be sharing our story with others. You see, many of us are here this evening because in Sunday school, prayer meeting, Bible school, in times of public worship, in our families, there were those who had a faith that was proclaimed. They shared it. And I am forever grateful for those 16 years and those who shared their story with me. The importance of a faith that is proclaimed is so we prepare individuals to make the most important choice of their life, or decision of their life, and that is where they will spend eternity. There were individuals that did that in my life years ago, about the age of 10, so I'm still very much attending here and a part of this congregation. The break wasn't there where it is now. That wasn't here. I don't know. I may have been sitting somewhere around the break or right in front of that one evening. I've shared this, I think, with you before. Revivals then were two-week revivals, I believe, in August. Whatever it was hot. We didn't have air conditioning. There was a thunderstorm outside. Mickey Oliveri was the minister that night. We were singing, "You Must Be Born Again." And I can still relate to what it is for a 10-year-old to stand. Back then, the church just about every night was pretty well full. So you couldn't pick those nights when you didn't think so many people were going to be there. He gave the invitation. And I stood, because he said, "Just stand where you are." And I thought, here's my chance. And as soon as I stood, he said, "Would you please come forward?" And I walked right up here to the front. Never regret that I made that walk. But you want to hear the rest of the story? And I'm not Paul Harvey. Soon after I was called into the ministry, Brother Hershey Keller was the pastor out at Albright Church, Roaring Springs, and he asked me if I would come out for a revival. Number of years passed, and when the time came around for that revival meeting, Brother Hershey had passed on. There's no pastor there. They were looking for a pastor. Sunday morning, I forget who filled in, but then I found out that throughout the week, the individual who was going to lead the services and take me on visiting every day of those weeks was Mickey Oliveri. You couldn't put that together, that years later I'd be riding around with him as he took me, and I was a little boy that stood back there. Why do I share all this with you? Because you need to be proclaiming your faith. You need to have a faith that is proclaimed, because individuals impacted my life here that led me, as God moved in my heart, to make that choice. Choose to proclaim your faith. The last one, a faith that is practiced. Faith that is practiced. All of us have been influenced by our parents or others. We have been influenced by the biblical principles that were taught and how those principles were lived out. As we all know, but just a reminder tonight, our children, grandchildren, and others are watching to see if our lifestyle matches up what we say we believe. And if you're like me, we're not perfect, and sometimes we can do better. Number one, they are watching in our times of success. Will we forget God? Even at times when things are going real well, is God at the center of all we do? Brother shared with me years ago this, and I think about it often. He said, what this generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. What are you doing? What are you doing? Number two, they are watching in our times of failure. Not only in our times of success, but in our times of failure. Will we admit our failures? Will we ask for forgiveness? There were individuals years ago. Again, I can't think of any particular incident, but there were individuals who lived out biblical principles when I was younger and continue to today. I'm very grateful for that. Individuals are watching, and half-hearted commitment rarely reproduces itself. Individuals are watching, and half-hearted commitment rarely reproduces itself. Like you could say, many of you could give testimony if we gave you time to share those that influenced your life and what that meant to you. You see, I am what I am today because of a God who never gave up on me, and because of the influence of those from the past who had a faith that was practiced. The importance of a faith that is practiced is that we are having an influence on others in the next generation. Our influence will last, whether good or bad. How individuals remember you and how they will remember me will depend on my choices. So again, I would just say, encourage you, choose today a faith that is possessed, a faith that is proclaimed, and a faith that is practiced. Brother's out here somewhere. If I sit down, I guess he'll come up. There he is.
Thank you, Brother Paul. That was very well done.
Paul was speaking there. He said about stories, and I have a story of the change, the day my life changed. It wasn't when I accepted Christ. I was going down a road that was no good. I was going there fast. And I had a Bible-believing, living mother and father. I came home from school. She knew something was wrong. And after I left, she went up and found the drugs that I had brought home. And she said to my dad, "Paul, what are we going to do?" And he said, "We're going to pray about it." And they prayed about it. And when I took those drugs during a football game and went out and got high, I remember going back and taking trying to rub the dirt, the sin off of me. That was the day I changed. You know, it was 3 years till they shared with me that they knew I had them and what they had done. That was a change in my life. It was burning in my heart as he was talking. And ever since then, I have had a real desire to help others, if I possibly could, to make that change, to know that God was real in their life. We're going to ask Marvin to come up and close in prayer, and then we're going to have a hymn, and we're going to consider ourselves dismissed.
I'm just going to share real quickly. Brother Paul, appreciate you and Sister Barb. They're two that have been influential in my life. I thank for them. I'm thankful for Brother Fred sitting back here in the aisle. He was a minister preaching when I accepted Christ. I didn't know that 15 years later, I'd be marrying one of his granddaughters. So he has been very influential in my life, as well as many of you. Would you please stand as we have closing prayer?